If you were a child in the 80s, give me a wave. Those are the people that are going, oh, that hurts. You may know, if you're a child in the 80s, of a series of books that were very popular called Choose Your Own Adventure. No? Just me and you, Pastor Glenn. Choose Your Own Adventure were these brilliant books, and what made them so special was that you would read to a certain point in the story, and then you would be faced, as the reader, with a choice. And you would have to turn to a certain page depending on what you wanted the character to do in that moment. For example, it would say, turn to page 7 if you want to go through the door and see what's on the other side. Or if you want to turn and run away, then turn to page 14. It was like a very primitive computer game. It was an analog computer game. Now, of course, in the late 80s and early 90s, arcades kind of stopped being as popular because video games came into the home. And so it put an end to this incredible idea of these books. And there's been lots of iterations of them since then. In 1998, the Truman Show got us all questioning our realities. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but the principal character in the Truman Show, his name is Truman. He was the only person that was unaware that his life was fake. He was the star of a TV show that millions watched, and everyone was in on the scam except him. And this is an incredible moment. I think we've got a slide with it on. At the end of the movie, when he goes up some steps and opens the door on what he thought was the limitation of his existence, to discover that there was a whole world out there. A year after that, in 99, another movie got us questioning our realities called The Matrix. The Matrix in 1999. This idea that we were all unaware of the fact that someone else was pulling the strings, someone else was deciding what was happening to us, and we were unaware of it and had no power to be involved in any of the outcomes, but it was like the story was happening to us and there was nothing we could do about it. We couldn't do anything about it. And yet, in the Bible, Peter, two things about him. He refers to Jesus as the author of life in the book of Acts. He's addressing a crowd and he says, you killed the author of life, speaking about Jesus, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. This is significant because, as Pastors Glenn and Sophia have already inspired us in this service, our church, Audacious Church, this church, your church, we've long been advocates of the idea that God is inviting us to partner with the author in the writing of the story, not just of the life of our church, but of your life and my life. The same Peter, as the one that said he's the author of life in Acts chapter 3, also said in his open letter to the church, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, through these he has given us this very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That invitation is extended to me and you. Now, you're either trying to figure that out, or you're not as excited about that as an idea as I am. I can't tell which one. He's the author of life, and he's inviting me and you to partner with him in writing the story. That's the spirit of adventure. This series is called The Spirit of Adventure, and I want us to use this analogy of the Choose Your Own Adventure stories in the way that we go through today's message. And what we're going to do today and also next Sunday is we're going to look at a couple of the Old Testament characters, the Old Testament heroes, and see how they lived with the spirit of adventure. And I want you to think, not just, but including our new campus and our new location of this campus in applying the spirit of adventure word, this prophetic word, to your life today. But I also want you to think about the spirit of adventure and how it applies to you tomorrow. Not September necessarily when we do the church, the campuses, but even tomorrow, there is an application in your life of how you can partner with the author and live the adventure of faith. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24 says this, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." In other words, there was something about today's character, his name's Caleb, that meant multiple times through the story, and we're going to go through it, he was faced with a choice, and he constantly chose the spirit of adventure. He was wholehearted, it says, and he had a different spirit. And I'm prophesying over you, Audacious Church, this morning, that he has, and you have, and I have, and we have access to the spirit of adventure. And you could be the oldest person in our church or the youngest person in our church, and that still applies. We'll see from Caleb that he was 85 when he was still saying, I'm as strong as I am today than when I first heard the promise. And so your age, your circumstances, your level of confidence or ability is not the deciding factor on whether or not you have this invitation. You are invited into the spirit of adventure, and we're going to make today's message the story of Caleb. I want you to imagine that we're reading Caleb's story in the style of Choose Your Own Adventure. Just coming up on screen, you'll see the designers. Dave Ralph is in this service today, and he designed this, and he will hate that I'm doing this, but he's just done such a great job. I just want to honor you, Dave, for being such more than a great designer, but actually for having the spirit of adventure in your heart and that driving all the things you do. So a culture to carry, the story of Caleb. And what we're encouraging you to do in this series is actually to put you on the page. In fact, put you on the cover. Imagine if this book had you on the cover a little bit like it does here with me. Now, there are people in the last service that were questioning the muscularness of the arms of this character. But can I just say, and I'm glad you're here, Dave, because on the 1st of April, we did a post. It was an April Fool's post, and it was pictures of our leaders and staff dressed in what would be soon discovered as fake 90s apparel. And I would say that every single person was upgraded to being thinner and younger, except me. If you scrolled through that little joke Instagram post, you would finally get to the jump scare at the end, which is basically me looking fatter and older. So I'm going to take this cover as my own. You're welcome. Thanks, Dave. Dave's just going back to South location right now. But I'm asking you to step into the story. My youth pastor told me when I was a kid that when you read the Bible, the best thing to do is to step into the story, step onto the page. Because this is not a made-up story to make a point. This is an account of what happened. Some parts of the Bible are historical. They're narrative. They're telling a story of something that actually happened. We know there's poetry, and we know there's prophecy, and we know there's other things. But some of it is an account of what actually happened, including the Gospels and good chunks of the Old Testament. And so we're stepping into the story. Is that okay? All right, so Caleb's story started with God speaking. And that's what it's like with the adventure of faith. If you've got a word from God, or you want a word from God, you're setting yourself up for a life of adventure. You can go for the rest of your life exploring all that God has for you if it starts with a word from God. Well, here's the thing. Imagine we're just on page 8 in our storybook. Page 8, God spoke to Moses. Oh, wait a minute. This is Caleb's story, and yet somehow heaven is ignoring Caleb and speaking to someone else. By the way, Caleb was not a junior in this moment. In Numbers chapter 13, he was 40 years old. He wasn't an apprentice. He wasn't a young kid kind of, you know, stumbling over his feet. He was a grown man. He had his own dreams and his own ideas. And yet it would seem, or he could have been forgiven for thinking that heaven was ignoring him, that the spotlight was away from him and it was on someone else. And so in that moment when God spoke to Moses, not Caleb, Caleb had a choice. And it's the same choice that you and I face today. As we talk about the expansion of the vision of our church into multiple more locations, as you think about tomorrow morning and you wake up and you've got your day in the office, in the workshop, in the classroom, at home with the kids, whatever it is that God is calling you to live the adventure of faith, we have a choice. And Caleb was faced with this choice because God said to Moses, it says in Numbers 13, verse 1, God said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. Caleb was a leader with reputation and his own story. He had his own goals and aspirations, but in that moment, he had a choice. And so imagine we're reading this like a choose-your-own-adventure book. To sulk and wait for his own time to shine, turn to page 36. To step out in faith and obey God, turn to page 24. Now, the reason why we're talking about Caleb today is because he turned to page 24, not actually, but to stay with my metaphor, he chose the spirit of adventure. He chose obedience and wholeheartedness, despite having multiple reasons why he could say, well, it's not for me. God, if God wants me to do it, he should speak to me direct. But the reason we're telling the story is because he turned to page 24, and we'll turn to page 24 in our metaphoric book, and this is the result of what happened when Caleb chose to put God first in this supernatural way. It says God and Caleb went on an adventure. And so Caleb is famous. Him and his buddy Joshua are famous because they did go and do as Moses commanded them, as God did through Moses, and they went to spy out the promised land. And the reason why this is significant is because 12 of them went, one group went, but two reports came back. One of the reports said, we can't, and another report said, we can. And there is the difference between Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 whose names we don't know, but there was two different reports. Caleb chose adventure, and at the first hurdle, he had another choice to make. It says this in Numbers 13, verse 23. When they reached the valley, this was in the promised land, they're on their mission, they're doing their assignment, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them, must have been Joshua and Caleb, carried it on a pole between them along with some pomegranates and some figs. Verse 25, they reported to them, Moses and the people that had sent them, and to the whole assembly, and they showed them the fruit of the land. So here we have a situation where Caleb steps out in faith. He steps out of the comfort zone. He goes beyond his comfortable norm. He steps into the unfamiliar, the scary. And when you and I are under pressure, there is sometimes a possibility, and it was definitely an option for Caleb, because we see this in the language of the other 10. You could go one of two ways when you feel under pressure or out of control. Imagine like a gauge with a needle in the middle. And on one side is victim, and on the other side is entitled. Because after doing what we're doing now for the last 30 years, I've heard the language, and I've even used the language of both when I feel under pressure. When I'm perceived that my comfortable norm is being compromised or changed in some way, when I recognize that even God is taking me out of the familiar, I can drift towards one of these two extremes. The mentality of victimhood will cause us to start thinking of all the reasons and excuses as to why we can't and how it's not our fault. I can't obey God and live for Him at uni because, fill in the blanks. I can't live for God or honor Him in my finances because, fill in the blanks. And the mentality of a victim will cause us to veer off and say no to the spirit of adventure. Or maybe for you, it's the other end of the scale, which is a bit more entitled, where we still start to think of reasons why it's someone else's job to do it, comparing our situation to theirs and concluding that it's not fair. Caleb could have said, why doesn't someone else go? I've done my time. I've done my pioneering stuff. You know, I've served. I've done this. You know how hard I work? Someone else can go and do that. And yet the Bible says that Caleb chose adventure. The thing is that sits underneath those two words on that scale is the word fear. Because it's actually fear that causes us to drift into victimhood. It's actually fear, although it's dressed up a different way, that causes us to drift into entitlement and say, it's not for me, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not willing to do it. That is the voice of fear. Because fear will tell you this is painful and you'll be scared of being hurt. Perhaps you've had pain in the past even, or disappointment or frustration in the past. And so fear will cause you to drift to one side or the other. But Caleb had a choice. To go with what everyone else was saying and not rock the boat. Turn to page 63, Caleb. Or to have the faith to see what is not seen and then take it a step further and go public with it, turn to page 81. So Caleb did the second option. He did what the spirit of adventure was bubbling up inside him, despite his emotions, despite his circumstances. He chose to turn to page 81 and to have the faith to see what others couldn't even see, and then be as brave as to say it out loud to someone else. They come back and they're in front of the whole assembly, the Bible says. They're all waiting for this report of the promised land. And one after another, they come forward and say, we can't do it. The next one comes and says, we can't do it. You should see the size of the walls. Another one says, we can't do it. We're going to die. Another one says, we can't do it. You should see the size of the enemy. And then Caleb and Joshua step forward and say, we can do it. You should see the size of their grapes. I don't know how much of an argument that is for me and you. I'm like, I could take a leaf grapes. What are you talking about? All right, then pomegranates. Are they the ones you eat with a pin? It's not a good argument, is it? All right, figs. Who likes figs? You do? Weirdos. It's a joke. It's a joke. I'm sure you're very healthy. Caleb chose faith, not fear. And it was actually the language of faith, along with one other thing that I'll come to in a minute, that kept the needle right in the middle. Yeah. Caleb had every reason to be a victim, and he had every reason to be entitled. But the language of faith was one of the key ingredients that kept him in the middle. I want you to check your language about tomorrow. I want you to not pick your phone up the first thing you do in the morning. Don't do that. Pick up the Bible. Put some worship on. Get the spirit of adventure growing in you. Victimhood says, I'm too old. I'm not at the right stage of life. I'm not qualified. I'm not called. I'm too tired. I'm not important enough, or no one recognizes me. Entitlement says, I've done my bit. I've earned my stripes. This is beneath me. My goal and dream is better than this. I'm too busy. This is not really my thing. What's in it for me? Let's talk terms and conditions. But the difference with Caleb was not just words or even a perspective. It was actually a spirit, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 14. Because Caleb, my servant, has a different spirit. And that's not because God chose him randomly and no one else won the lottery of getting that. This is an invitation extended to me and you to take on the spirit of adventure and live for God. Go again. Stand again, believe again, pray again, hope again. Now, what happened next was not part of Caleb's plan. a lot happened between the promise in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24 and its fulfillment in actually a different book of the Bible. So much time went past that they finished that book and started a new book, Joshua chapter 14. Now, this was due to Israel's disobedience, and they wandered around the desert. And if you think about it, and you would recognize if you know the story, that most of Caleb's friends died in the desert. A whole generation, the Bible says, died in the desert. And yet when we get to Joshua chapter 14, Caleb and Joshua are still living. After 45 years, he was 40, the Bible says, when he heard that promise, when God said to Moses, go and spy out the land. And in Joshua chapter 14, he's now 85. He waited faithfully, and the Bible says, this is the second ingredient, number one, the language of faith. Number two, he lived wholeheartedly for 45 years. Sometimes it feels to me like we wouldn't wait 45 minutes to get what we want. And just give up and say, well, God, he's not real. Or if he is real, he doesn't love me because I haven't got what I want in 45 minutes. No, 45 years, and I'm not prophesying that. I'm not prophesying that. We're going with these new campuses and locations in September, come rain or shine. We did Cardiff, we did Geneva, we did Sheffield in the middle of COVID. When everyone was saying, shut the church, do this, don't meet. We were like, we are going to meet, and we're going to make more places to meet. So take that. That's the spirit of adventure. So Caleb had a choice to give up and accept that the best years are behind you. Turn to page 117. To live with the spirit of adventure and believe that if it's not good, he's not finished. Turn to page 128. Adventure is unpredictable. It's uncomfortable. Adventure takes you outside of what is familiar and safe, and some would say even necessary. Caleb chose to live wholeheartedly with whatever was put in front of him. And let's face it, the fulfilled promise of God was not the thing put in front of him, not for 45 years. But the Bible says in Numbers 14, 24, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. He didn't strive or try and create some opportunity in his own strength. He didn't try and do God's job for him. Anyone guilty of that? I know I am. God, I'm just going to remind you in your sovereign power how to do stuff. No, he didn't do that. He did wholeheartedly that which God had put in front of him, and he didn't waver. Here's the thing, though. When you're under pressure, you don't always rise to the occasion. Often, you fall to the level of your preparation. When I was in my late 20s, Zoe and I felt God speaking to us, and the spirit of adventure was calling us to do something outside of what we'd done for 10 years. And that decision, in part, is the reason why we're here today. Because from that decision, other things happened. And it's only with hindsight you look back and you realize God was up to something. And we've been here since 2010, 16 years. Serving God, trying to build the kingdom of God in this context, in Audacious Church. But I remember sitting down with my dad when we were going to leave the church where we grew up, and to others, perhaps from the outside looking in, it looked a bit reckless. But there is a difference between radical and reckless. The problem is the difference is internal. What feels radical to you looks reckless to someone else sometimes. And in the most part, you could say, well, what's that got to do with anything? But if it's your dad. So I sat down with my dad, and my dad said, why are you doing this? And I thought about it a long time. And I said, Dad, you raised me this way. You taught me and modeled to me to hear the voice of God, and with counsel and wisdom and all of that, to actually step out in faith. I said, it's your fault, Dad. You know what my dad did? He said, all right, I'm going to chew my fingernails over here. I'm going to be nervous over here on your behalf. And I said, good, we'll turn that into prayer and we'll see what happens. And he said, I'm here for you when, if and when it all goes wrong. I said, I know you are. And there were days when I started towards his house because I thought it was going wrong. Truth is, spirit of adventure. That's how he raised me. I'm saying that because it wasn't in that moment that all of a sudden I just rose to the occasion and had the confidence and had that. It's because he'd spent my life to that point and also had the humility to allow other people to speak into my life. My youth pastor, my youth leader, different people in the church over the 28, 29 years to get to that point had all been preparation for the step of faith that eventually brought us here. And now we're not finished. Audacious Church is not finished. God's not finished in your life. I'm just saying. It's one of the reasons why we as a church were as committed to prehab as we are rehab. Pastorally, I'm talking. Rehab, in this context, means if you're going through a crisis, we want to help. We have an army of staff and volunteers in our pastoral ministry that literally want help. As a person who's just gone through a really difficult and, you know, probably will be for a bit time, the people that have come around us in a crisis has been just, I have no words. So if you're going through a crisis, don't do it on your own. Don't be so proud that you can't just say to someone, hey, I need some help, because there are people who literally pray every morning, God, just use me today. Like, use me to help someone today. And you could be the answer to their prayer by just dropping your guard for a second and saying, hey, I need some help. So we're committed to that. But I say all that to say, we're also equally as committed to prehab. In other words, every week when we're talking about putting God first, every week where we're saying, come on, join the team, every week where we're saying, come on, why don't you honor God in this way, every week where we're trying to raise faith, that's all preparation. Jesus actually said, in this life you will have trouble. He's not trying to trick you into being a Christian by telling you it's all good and there's nothing ever bad that happens. No, don't look over here, don't look. No. He said, no, there'll be trouble. But take heart though, because I've overcome the world. So Caleb finally stands on the edge of the promise. I mean, we haven't got time to go into this, but his best mate, Joshua, he gets promoted to the boss. I mean, what do you do when someone else gets what you think you deserve? It's all gone quiet. But Caleb is stating his case to his buddy, Joshua, the now leader in Joshua 14. He says, God has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. And Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron belonged to Caleb ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. To stay comfortable and accept that your current reality is also your future story, turn to page 142. To carry the culture of Audacious Church and live with a different spirit, scan this QR code and sign up and be a part of the adventure, either in our new South Cheshire campus, our new East Manchester location, or let me just put this on the table as an option, considering you asked. I know you didn't ask. We need people who say, you know what, I'm going to go to North location and support that team there, Joel and Becky and all the team that are doing stuff. We've got over 200 now every week in our North location, and they need some people, they need some leaders. And if you do that, we'll free up some space here. We love you, by the way. You can stay here. I'm just saying. Or maybe you're saying, you know, I'm going to go to the South location. I'm going to do that and help Dan and Amy and the team down there. Or perhaps because all these people are going to be going to all these places, there's going to be some serious gaps here. And maybe God's saying to you, not to go, but to stay, but step up. So that QR code will take you to a form that you can fill in. That basically, there's loads of questions, but you can just say, sign me up. I'm up for it. The spirit of adventure is in me.